Hi, and welcome to the Marketing Munchies podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bridget Behe. This week, I am excited to have a neighbor to the South, new friend and colleague, Joe Perlacky, who is the executive director of the Maumee Valley Growers Association. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Let's talk about some of the results, because you were able to share with me some of the compilation of the data. And again, I tip my hat to you, because I know that's not a trivial thing. And it, you know, usually we have a graduate student who can do some of that. Some of the surprising things you mentioned earlier, you were surprised how fast it was. And I was very pleasantly surprised to see that what you found in the field lined up very nicely with a lot of our in-lab studies, that whole decision process took only about 5 to 7 seconds.
Yes. Yeah, that was pretty consistent. Very, very consistent. I also found it interesting on that comment that the age groups that took the longest, you never believe it. It was the millennials, 0 to 24 years old. They took the longest in making purchases. And I thought to myself, well, this is kind of weird. And I could only conclude that the younger folks took a long time because this began their first experience with buying plants. And they were reading the tags. They really, really were, because they didn't know what the plants were. Does it require sun? No sun? How big do they get? What kind of watering and care? So they read it from that perspective. The older folks read it from the opposite end of the spectrum because they're so experienced. They said, yeah, I know what that is, blah, blah, blah. I know it's going to fit here in my house. I do this, I do that. So they were double checking the tags just to make sure it was what they thought they were. But they're also in the thought process of replacing plants generally that they already have in their house. Will this fit the puzzle? Will it fit the landscape in my house or condo or home or apartment or porch outside? More often than not, the seniors purchased. Less often than not, the young folks did not.
Interesting. I also was reading on some of your results that you were surprised that the non-buyers, so the people who stopped to consider making that purchase, took longer than the buyers. And I found that interesting. We have seen what I'll call this inverted U-shaped, where people either dismiss it really quickly, but we've also seen in the lab what you saw in the field, that if they stand there too long, that it's almost as though they're trying to figure out, is it worth it? And the longer they think about that, the less worth it appears to be.
That was a surprise to me too, because you would think logically, if they're looking at it, and by the way, I would say looking at it from a 45 second plus time period, they're trying to figure out, should I spend X amount of dollars on this? Is it likely this will survive? Will it fit with my current plans at home? How many plants can I buy? Maybe I go into a location and I have $50 to spend. They're thinking about this stuff and they're serious about their purchase or not. And so what I felt is that was a golden opportunity for an associate, a worker at the greenhouse facility or the retail facility. When they see somebody lingering like that, go up to them and say, can I help you? What's your plans here? What do you really want to do? What are you looking for? And many times they did do this. And many times they steered the person away from what they were looking at to another part of the greenhouse. You know, again, I can't hear the dialogue, but I can see them motioning like I am now and pointing over here, and they would follow. So a good point is, if you see someone lingering and looking at something, by the way, if they pick it up, they're interested.
Yes.
And I didn't record anything that no one picked up. If they picked up a tag, I record it. That's fine. But if they didn't pick it up, they slowed down and went and continued on with their cart or not, I didn't record that. One point to be made perhaps is for the employees and owners, that if they see somebody lingering on something, we'll help them out. More often than not, they bought something else. Or if you left them alone after that encounter, they circled around and came back and had another look at it.
Wow, that's interesting. That's the stuff that we can't capture in the lab. And that really is an exciting finding. I want to talk about kids for a minute, because Paco Underhill wrote The Science of Shopping, and he was really the one in his book. He was the one that introduced me to the complexities of shopping with kids, because when I first read that book, I didn't have any children. And since then, we have one son who's now 27, but I understand the complexities of shopping with children. You want to talk a little bit about what you were able to capture on the video?
Well, one consistency about having kids is, you know, either they're walking along the shopping cart, or they're one or two of them are sitting in a shopping cart, depending on what the cart, you know, configuration is. Always was a purchase that seemed to be much faster or quicker than it would have been if they weren't there. The mostly female that did the purchases, which, by the way, turned out to be true in pretty much all cases, females were the buyers. But the kids who were very well behaved, the mother certainly went quicker. And when she honed in on something, she went for it. She pretty much picked it up, looked at it, turned it around. Yes, I want this in the cart, and moving on to the next, because she knew the kids had to keep going and moving. And men shop differently than women. They go right to where they want to go. They buy it probably because it's pretty. They probably don't even look at the price. They stick it in the cart and they're off.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. I really do enjoy watching people make purchase decisions. So let's move on to some application for this, because I think your findings can help a lot of different plant retailers in a lot of different ways. One of the first things is how fast this decision happens, even faster with children, but how fast it happens. What are some of your thoughts about ways that grower retailers could help that decision get it off the bench and into the cart?
But I got this feeling that when I observed purchases in the display area that were somewhat incomplete, meaning not fully laid out, where it appeared there were open spaces, okay? That seemed to draw the customer to that, because it seemed to imply, hey, somebody else must have bought something here. This must be good. So they looked at it, started looking, why are there open spaces here? What's left? Oh, it's been validated because a purchase was done by someone else. And maybe I ought to really check this out. I got that inkling. If it's fully displayed, it looks like a display.
Fully stocked.
Fully stocked. So I'm thinking halfway, you don't have to do that. And the other interesting thing is there was a decent amount of customers. They never thought the best plant was in the front. So they start looking in back, because that's where the secret is. The secret to the sauce of the purchase is a hidden plant in back that no one has seen. The greenhouse owners probably put their best plants in front. And so why would they put their best plants in back? But, you know, it works the opposite when they seem to purchase. And if you have some blank areas, some open space, they're always looking at the back.
You're right. Most of the good stuff is up front, and still most of the purchases happen up front. But I think you're also right. There are a few people who think the big secret, the real great plant, is hidden back there in the eighth row, three in from either end. And
No one saw it. It's the magic one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The one thing that's interesting is we did this filming May and June, and did it all the way through June. And we all know that the grower season is so doggone short. And what I noticed, there's more plant purchasing, obviously, in May than there is in June. And there's different kinds of purchasing in June. When people are going back to shop in June, they're going in for replacement plants. They're going in for plants that either died at home, or they need a certain color for their layout, or in their living room, or wherever. And they're very specific as to what they're looking for. Whereas in May, it's more of, geez, I'm starting from scratch. I just, you know, let's just buy whatever looks good. And a lot of growers, from my experience, they kind of poo-poo the month of June and say, yeah, it's over in June. First of June, it's over. Well, it's not. And by the way, you don't have to discount either in June. Don't do that.
Absolutely.
You know, that, you're killing yourself. You're cutting off, you're leaving money on the table. So what you can do is maybe talk to your customers more in June and say, what are you looking for? Maybe I can get it for you. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with calling a fellow member of our organization, Maumee Valley Growers, and saying, hey, do you have, or anyone else, even a competitor, because even though growers are competitors, they are still growers and they will help each other and go out of their way to help each other. I've seen that time in and time again. So they're all playing in the same game, still competitive.
So what's up for next year? You're going to do some programming to help the growers, retailers understand how to use some of these results?
Yeah, and we didn't talk about signage too. When we did the filming, we switched about every week or so the signage. And one we tried to determine, do people buy in value? In other words, the cheapest item out there? Or do they buy because it's the right thing to do? And I call it environmental signage because it attracts butterflies and different kinds of insects. And they may combine it with natives and things like that. I'm not sure yet I can say definitively what kind of influence the generational signs make, other than I would say that seem to be a tendency for the younger group to have more of an impulse buy when you said, hey, look, it generates more environmental benefits, CO2, et cetera. The value signs, as opposed to no value sign, no signs at all, helps. So that definitely helps if you want to put sale, markdown, 2-for-1, whatever, at whatever time, unless you just want to get rid of some. But to answer your question, there's two items on our agenda during this second year of the grant. And now that we kind of see these tendencies of purchase, and we have signage that we will print up again and distribute to our growers that will reflect some of these tendencies. And we will also post these results, which we haven't done yet, kind of make some, I'll call them soft recommendations, and so that they can gain some of the insight from this study. But the two things we're looking at this coming year is, how do the customers pay for these purchases? Once they take it to the register, we know different generations purchase differently. Are you providing only cash purchases, check purchases? Can you buy off the internet on your website? And probably still important, do you have broadband to do all this stuff?
Yeah, good, you know, Wi-Fi to.
You know, some of the our retail growers, if they're out in the rural areas, it's still a little shoddy in some cases. So sure, they can't do a lot of these things. And oh, by the way, these point of sale things that are handheld, you could take them to the farmer's market, you could take them to the farm stands, and it's really wonderful to do that. And we're seeing that happen. You could also take it to the curbside service, which COVID forced. Well, the growers, they want to change. We all know that. They've done it because they've always done it that way. And so, and they're keeping it now because sure, customers like it. You know, they'll call in and they're trusted. They have a relationship. Can you get this out for me? Blah, blah, blah. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to promote floriculture as a career or an income supplement.
Wow, that's really exciting, Joe. It's a lot to look forward to. And yeah, again, I think you and your group did a great job with getting the funding, setting this type of field study up. And just, I was very excited to see the results. So I appreciate you coming on the podcast today and sharing the whole story with us, and hope to have you back again another time.
All right. I appreciate it. And I was happy to share the information with everyone.